Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
All right, greetings and a good rainy morning to you here in the Palmetto State. Welcome aboard, welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios. They are the preferred sign partner of the Gamecocks, Signorama.com. Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. Hello, Matt Vaughn. You know, there's two Matt Vaughns. Matt Vaughn, this is, I like both of them, by the way. They're both great guys. This is Gamecock Matt Vaughn. Matt Vaughn, who pitched at Clemson. Also played, well, he played at Stratford and then transferred to Somerville. And then his best friend, Smokey, hit a home run off of him in Doug Kingsmore Stadium. That I see that was in 2007. And according to legend, it landed in 2021. So it was in orbit for a while. Anyways, we love this Matt Vaughn and can't thank him enough for what he does for the Gamecocks, making Williams-Brice Stadium, Founders Park, and Colonial Life Arena, and so many other areas of campus so beautiful. Many of you have used him for your businesses. You know, they're the best. Signorama.com. We, of course, are served by Chicken Cock Bourbon. Man, it's good, and it's almost Friday. Can't wait tomorrow. Masters Baseball Bourbon on my Palm Casual Furniture. What could be better than that? The high is going to be 75 and sunny after this 4 inches of rain gets out of here. And we get to go and retain our swimming pool in the backyard. And, of course, we're built by the Barn Dominium Company. The Barn Doco is what they're called. O.J. Simpson has passed at 76 years old from cancer. We certainly will mix some of that in. Chad Holbrook will be along at noon, but up at 11:20. Stuart Lake will join us today. They'll be in the car tomorrow on the way to Gainesville, where the Gamecocks will look to knock off the Gators. Last time they were there, it was a super regional. Last June, and they're going to go back down and try to give them the business if they can. Gators are just, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't think anybody does. Very talented, very capable of beating anybody, but they haven't beaten many. 17 and 15 on this season. JC, Mad Dog, and myself here until 2 o'clock today. The breaking news in college athletics is that Scott Drew has decided he is going to hang tight in Waco, Texas, guys, and stay with the Baylor Bears. And so now Kentucky will find or continue to search for their next head basketball coach. And that really goes back to what Mike Morgan says often around here. You generally, it doesn't go like you think it's going to go. I mean, you You go after one guy, you go after two. I mean, the Alabama football search, for instance, I mean, they had a couple of names that they felt like, you know, they wanted to go after, and they didn't get them. It's, you know, we're not unique to that at South Carolina. There's a lot of money in sports now, and guys get comfortable in situations. They would rather be in less pressure situations at times. And Scott Drew has decided that's what he wants to do. He wants to stay at Baylor. So where do the Wildcats go? I'll give you a name that nobody's brought up, Phil. I'll give you a name that nobody's brought up, JC, which, by the way, I like your hair better shorter than longer for what that's worth. So
who, mine?
Yeah. I like it when it's short.
Of course. I look a lot better when it's longer, dude. I mean, shorter.
Yeah.
I look like a human being when it's longer. I look like I'm just a – like a bum, you know, freaking bum. But that's kind of a trademark look. I go back and forth. But yeah, I think my hair's looking swimmingly today.
I think it looks good. Yeah, it's got the we've all got the great. Well, Phil doesn't have any hair, but he can grow it on
there. Yeah,
he can grow it above his lip. He just can't grow it on his head.
He can get that friar tuck going on with the gray around the sides.
Yeah. What's funny is like I have just about the exact same hairline as Coach Hurley at UConn. I was noticing that same coloration too, because he's getting gray, so he's got these, like, if it gets long enough on mine, you'll see these little patches of darker spots and lighter spots. And I'm like, oh well, all right, gray hair, what do you know? But I felt a kinship with my man up there in Storrs, Connecticut when I saw him on the TV, you know, over these tournament games. I was like, wow, all right. That's what I look like when I let it grow out longer than about a quarter of an inch. Okay. All right.
Well,
all right. So who's the guy? You got me curious now.
Who? Oh, no. Coach Hurley at UConn.
No. I'm talking about what Jamie was going to say.
Well, Jamie, yeah.
How about Sean Miller?
That was a name that popped up on a list. He was like eighth to begin with. Sean Miller is a really good, accomplished coach. He has trouble getting to the Final Four and beyond. I mean, that would be my problem if I were a Kentucky person. Look at his track record. But he's never coached a place like Kentucky before. I mean, it's been two good runs at Xavier and, of course, Arizona. Wasn't he a Calipari assistant at some point? Ooh. Or maybe he's Herb Sendak at NC State. And Patino, maybe he was from the Patino side, but anyway, he's I mean, you could do a whole lot worse. I mean, I just don't. I hope they don't go and get sentimental and hire someone from the NBA. I do know that the one former player out there that's doing a good job at BYU is Mark Pope. He did a really good job. I mean, first year in the Big 12. At BYU, the new schools that came into the Big 12 did pretty good in that league this year, by the way, if you look at it. Cincinnati, UCF, BYU, and Houston. Somebody mentioned Kelvin Sampson. Would Kelvin Sampson take that at this point in his career? He's got a great thing going at Houston. I don't know why he was named National Coach of the Year this past year. I thought that was a pile of beans, quite frankly, but he's winning big there. It's just a matter. You think eventually Houston may put together a team that does win it all? Or does he feel like maybe there's a ceiling in the tournament at Houston and he can go to Kentucky and win and go out on top? I don't know. He's older, though. So I just
I've got one more for you. Younger name. Familiar name. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I know he's very comfortable and very happy where he is, but money talks and the opportunity to coach at Kentucky, even if it doesn't work out, you're still going to get paid. What about Nico Medved?
Oh, he would win. That guy's a great coach.
He'd be a winner. Yeah.
Well, no, and he's proven he'll take off in a heartbeat, dude, because he left Furman for Drake for 1 year and then left Drake for Colorado State. I mean, he's marched up. I'll say this, and I hope Kentucky, just because from a South Carolina standpoint, you don't want them to be this smart. And Kevin is this smart in the chat box. I'm going to give you credit there, buddy. I would hire Will Wade tomorrow because he's young. He's a very good X's and O's coach. He's a great recruiter. He will have Kentucky behind him. You've got him for 25 years if you want him. And you have to think of it like this. What if he hadn't gotten fired at LSU and he kept recruiting at the level he was recruiting there, and LSU had had, like LSU does every 17 years, they have a breakthrough and go to the Final Four? Would we be sitting here even questioning if he was a candidate for the Kentucky job? No, he'd be one of the best coaches in the country looking to make that next step to a big time blue blood. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been a fan of Will Wade, you know, like personally, I was like, he's a little cringy for me, and I'm shocked he didn't get fired as sooner than he did. But, the world's changed in college athletics, and a guy like that, you know, what's he really done that's so egregious that, doesn't take place legally now? Nothing. Mm-hmm. And a guy can coach. I mean, he can really coach. So if I were I hope they're not smart enough to do that. I hope they like go like Tony Bennett or somebody like that. Some good mid-major.
No way.
Somebody like that. You know, I mean, I'm like, I'm kind of.
They score 40 points a game. Kentucky has to score 40 minutes and 10 points.
They rarely get out of the early rounds. Rarely do they get out of the early rounds. They had one. They had they had their one shining moment, and that was it. So, you know, but I'm hoping they do that. You know, I'm hoping that once you, because see, once you get to this point where there are really no splash hires, you've got to really do your job as an athletic director and say, well, what makes sense for us right now? And unfortunately, you can pick six coaches. And there's like 17 different outcomes with each one of them. I mean, if you'd have told me Billy Gillespie was not going to be good at Kentucky after winning at freaking UTEP and then winning at freaking A&M, and then you'd have told me on the backside he would have been terrible at Kentucky, even worse at Texas Tech, and now he's at Incarnate Word or someplace going 500, I'd have said, nah, you're crazy. But, you know, Scott Drew turning that job down is interesting. I think that probably pretty much means Scott Drew's never going anywhere. You remember when Carolina used to have openings? Scott Drew was always on the list.
Yeah.
The Dave Odom search, the Darren Horn search. Scott Drew. No,
never leaving. That sounds like a I'm happy here kind of deal.
Yeah,
you know, it is. Like, yeah, money's not enough, but, you know, hey, things at Baylor are nice.
He's despite being a guy that's known as kind of a shady recruiter, he's a really religious guy. I guess those can go hand in hand sometimes. And, you know, Baylor's a Christian school, and he's probably in a good environment for his family. And, you know, with all the other crap coaches have to go through right now, do you really want death? I'm not saying death threats and going that far, but do you really want to be shunned around town if you lose to UNC Wilmington at home?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too. He makes over, now I don't know, he makes over $5 million a year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure according to USA Today, they don't have any information on bonuses and buyouts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure if, you know, was this one of those moments where he would use it as a leverage, get a bump in pay? Or was it like, I mean, according to some of the reports I've seen from some of the national writers, Baylor felt very confident that Scott Drew was going to remain, but they granted him, you know, the rights or granted him a release to have the conversation with Mitch Barnhart. So, you know how it is, JC. I mean, you know this world as well as anybody. I mean, I think I've got my share of stories with it too. You know, sometimes coaches, they have that conversation to get their current administration to bump them in pay. I don't know if that was the case with him, but, and it could have been like, hey, I'm just going to, it's not about money. Like, I'm fine financially. But it could have been. So, you know, who knows if he was ever seriously interested. But I mean, I think, so you said something just a minute ago, and I know we got to go in like 1 minute. So I want to get to Lake on time. But you said something, and we'll come back to this. You said the word splash hire. See, I know what you're saying. I don't disagree with you, but I've been under from day one with this thing with Kentucky, just an outsider's view. That's all. Kentucky's got to get the hire right. Screw the name. Like, you got to get the hire. Like, if you know, if that's what y'all you bang your doors every day on are on at least having a chance to compete for a national championship. Obviously, clearly, they have plenty of fans who expect them to win one every single year. That's not possible. But to be in the Sweet 16 and have a chance every year, you know, I mean, JC, there are coaches who've been around who are like, I'll take the Kentucky job. I'll go get $7 or $8 million a year, get fired in 3 or 4 years and ride off into the sunset. That'd be great.
Somebody mentioned, you know, Bruce Pearl. I think Bruce Pearl would be terrific. I think he'd win a national championship there.
He probably would.
Yeah.
He's
got ties to the kind of that part of the country, being in Indiana, and
well done,
Jim. I mean, it's Kentucky. Who cares if he has ties? Rick Pitino's from New York and Calipari from back east, you know.
I mean, I mean, Bruce makes almost $6 million a year. His buyout's $14 million. They've got the money.
Well, they didn't have to pay Cal anything to leave. Right.
Yeah, he just left.
That's less than half of what they were going to. I mean,
Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, like.
There'll be a 30 for third SEC story on Bruce Pearl one day. Yeah. From the Tennessee days where he showed up shirtless at Auburn. he showed up shirtless at Tennessee. He was cheering for the women. And then the day he got to Auburn, he was just, he's one of those guys that I think early on in his, like Steve Spurrier, early on in his career, you're kind of like, but now he's been around the league for like 20 years. You have a kind of a respect for him and for his enthusiasm for the game. And Auburn was not a very good basketball job at all. I mean, it's Charles Barkley and that's it. So, and Sonny Smith, you know.
How about here's another, it's a local name, but here's another name that would probably win well up there. Mike White.
Mike White, yes, another good coach. And like you said, he's not going to win the press conference, but I think that's very overrated. Seeing what's happened in college football lately, it's like you've got all these splash hires that just have been not turned out well. Harrison's looking at the upstate. Brad Brunell. Mm-hmm. Brad Brunell would win at Kentucky. It would just not be the most. I mean, it's crazy.
It's 11:19. It is National Pet Day.
So also,
it's
National Barbershop Quartet Day too.
Oh,
that was the icon I chose to use. I chose to use today on the social, but
it is
National Pet Day. That. Shout out to Red.
Yeah, National Pet Day. My sweet girl Deweese down there, hanging in there at 8 years old, and rest in peace to the best friend I ever had, Capers, who we lost just a few months ago. So National Pet Day, we will celebrate in our house. I'll bet you Coach Lake celebrates National Pet Day. He's standing by. South Carolina, Florida, up next here on ITG.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we get 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Colombia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Colombia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams Price Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
It is 11:23 inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. Probably don't want to ride one of those outside today, at least around here. It is damp. Coach, we've almost got 4 inches of rain this morning at my house. 4 inches.
Well, I'm glad that stayed south because we didn't need that much. We got a good rain, but nowhere near that. So Charleston can always lead the state in rain.
Dude, I mean, what in the world? I mean, it is a mess out there, but it won't be in Gainesville this weekend, at least not that I've heard. It's supposed to be fairly nice weather, as it will be throughout the rest of the Masters cranks up today. Got, this is just a beautiful weekend. You got the Masters. Once the rain's out of there, they're set to go here in a little while. It's going to be beautiful. Be able to sit on the back porch on the Palm Casual Furniture, watch the Masters, watch the Gamecocks, listen to Stuart Lake and Derek go back and forth with some of their silly trivia. It's pretty entertaining for 9 innings to be. You're getting better too, by the way, at the trivia stuff.
Yeah, well, I still just go with C. I mean, it got me through college and go C. All these things are always C. That's what your hot water heater is supposed to be set on. Just C. I'm going with C.
As hot as you want it. Why is that not an answer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that one the other day. I was like, this isn't fair. This is not. This is not.
You can hear Derek having asked the question. You can hear Dutch like having answered the question. I'm like, this is a tough moment when you're down four, man.
I'm trying to
think. Yeah, that's right.
Change my air filters while they've got about 3 straight hits and a, you know, and the bullpen's getting loose. So,
that's right.
That's right. That's the perfect time to consider your energy consumption and home management.
In the words of Harry Doyle, you know, dynamite drop in money, that broadcasting school is really paying off for you.
Oh, God.
Oh man. All right. So here come the Gators. Somehow they're still in the top 25. I mean, they have top 25 talent. We know that. They've got top 10 talent, but they've struggled for all the struggles offensively. South Carolina has had this year. Florida's had those on the mound. When's the last time you've seen that from a team that's coached by Kevin O'Sullivan, man?
I don't remember the last time. And I was sitting here, I always do my how do you compare to each other overall and then stats. But overall, Florida's last in ERA. They're 14th, 6.33 ERA. I mean, listen to these numbers. They're 12th in opponent batting average. So guys are hitting 269 overall. Now in the league, they're still hitting well against them. The key to them is their fielding percentage. They got the second best defense in the league. So they've kind of helped themselves in that way. But this morning, I started going back and looking at their conference games. You know, they're still right there in the conference. And they're 5-7 after getting swept last weekend at Missouri. But they played well, you know, and they're going to kind of stay with their rotation. They're going again with Brandon Neely on Friday, who he's pitched. Honestly, he's had one bad outing and it wasn't even that bad. Gave up five in their first weekend to LSU, but he's pitched well against Mississippi State. The guy pitched really well last week and they lost 2-1 to Missouri on Friday night. So I got to imagine we're getting down there this weekend and these guys are not. Sully's never in a good mood. So I can't imagine why now he wouldn't be in a classic mood coming into that. So it's going to be an interesting three games.
So, yeah, well, you know, you see Sully on TV and you're like, man, does he hate life or does he enjoy any of this? But generally they're always winning. Yeah. He hides it well. Yeah, it's really been rather baffling to be honest. And quite frankly, you know, offensively, you know, outside of Cags, you know, Ty Evans. I mean, I think the kid who transferred in from Bama, what's his name? Colby Shelton. I think he's hit 15 balls out of the yard, but he's only hitting like 250 or 260 on the year. I haven't looked at their SEC stats.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of a one man wrecking crew down there with Caglione, which by the way, how do you describe Jack Caglione? I mean, you've seen everything. How do you describe this kid?
I coached a guy that reminds me so much of him at Ole Miss, Stephen Head. Three-time All-American, you know, still the saves record leader there. I thought Stephen was a definite big league player. He's now the Midwest scouting director for the Dodgers. So I guess in a lot of ways he knows what he's looking for. But those two guys, their bodies. I still remember Cags. I know y'all do. When the player got ejected last year and he hit the home run right after it. When he did the step on home plate and run to the dugout with his arms down, that showed me the kind of makeup. He could have played for one of our old Gamecock teams with that kind of makeup. That's what we would have done to just kind of push it right back at the umpire. So it tells you the makeup he has. And they got him set up again to go on Sunday. Now, he had a rough outing last Sunday. He was a big reason why it ended up 11-10. But they're going TBA, the old dreaded TBA on Saturday. So we'll see, but Cags is on Sunday, but he's a special dude, man. I predict him to play in the big leagues. I think he's a hitter more than a pitcher to me, but he's pretty good on the mound.
Yeah. Who's the kid that played for Mac up at Louisville? What was his name?
Geez, I know you're talking about. Yeah. Very similar.
Kind of a similar situation here. Yeah. This kid's gone. He hit 288 his freshman year, 322 last year. Of course, he hit the 33 dingers in the. Had 90 RBI. Correct. And then this year he's a shade under 400 and he's already hit 17 home runs when everybody under the sun knows he's capable of hit one. He still hit 17 out of the yard. I think as impressive as those numbers are with this guy, he's only got 14 strikeouts and 153 plate appearances. I mean,
that's big, JB, because normally he knows he's not going to get pitched to every time. So it's something I talked to Ethan Petrie about one day. When you do have an opportunity to hit, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Just enjoyed the at-bats, because there's a lot of times Ethan's not going to get pitched to. Mm-hmm. And if I were Ethan Petrie, I'd find some time this weekend to grab a Caglin on, and I told him I'd do this every weekend. Find a guy that's in the role you are and see how they're handling it. And that was something I mentioned to him one day in the dugout. I said, never think you've figured this game out. That is the first sign that you haven't, is when you think you have. So just anytime there's another guy, and Cags is obviously that kind of guy from Florida, man, grab him and just ask a question or two. He's a little older than you, I know, but I guarantee you he'll like to share that with you. So hopefully those two will get to talk a little bit.
That is killer advice for a guy like Petrie. Our coverage of Gamecock Baseball presented by Resto Pros of the Midlands. On that note, if anybody hadn't had a chance to read this, John Whittle wrote a column today about the struggles of the offense for Carolina baseball. There isn't a soul on the planet that could have written it any better than John Whittle wrote it.
Yeah,
it was brilliantly written. And I texted him this morning. I said, that's a great effing column, because it shows, speaking of Petrie and this offense, Coach, the stats show 100% what they're capable of. We know, we've seen it. We know what these guys can do. We know what they're capable of doing. And we also now have a clear picture of what the problem is offensively. They're literally not hitting with runners on base, and they're not hitting with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And I'm not, we don't bring you on the show to ask you to dog down on the players. No. You know that. And we don't do that here too. But deeper than that, like, you can say those are facts. You can say the facts, Coach, but there's got to be something from the eyeballs of baseball people. And I have my theories. I've texted you them. Yep. But there's got to be something from the eyeballs of baseball people that look at this, and there's got to be a why. Do you have a why? We're about 60% into the season here.
You know, I really, and that was the sound of me thinking there when I go island on you. I wrote in this morning, I listened to 107.5, and they were playing back Coach Kingston's press conference yesterday. And that was a question that I think was asked twice. Mm-hmm. The runners in scoring position. And King knows me. He said this is one of those things you don't want to talk about too much because it starts to press. But that was where I was different, because I grew up in a house, and this was how I was raised with my granddad and my dad. They talked about the mortgage. They talked about bills, and they were never scared to talk about that they had to work to achieve the goals of paying those. And as a hitting coach, I was constantly reminding guys of numbers. There's zero reason to ever act like these guys don't see what we see. So I was constantly going up to them through the season going, hey, you know, I can remember with Wes Clark, it was like, are the strikeouts that are adding up, are they bothering you? Because he was a guy we needed free swinging. He was an RBI guy, ended up leading the country in home runs. If they are, tell me. If they're, let's discuss it. So I kind of, as I just said that with Ethan, that's what I would do. And I know Monty and MR. I was with him yesterday. I went over in the cage and watched him hitting. Never be afraid as a baseball guy of numbers. They're there. They're your checking account. If you don't know what's in your checking account, then you probably are screwing yourself up financially, is the way I was taught. So don't be afraid to know what's in your checking account. This team has every goal right still in front of them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just looked this morning. I think they're predicted to be an 11 seed, which means they would get to host a regional. Everything's in front of you. Everything. So what I would do is reset my mindset a little bit. If y'all got a minute, I want to tell you a story. I think I've told it on here before. I coached a guy at Ole Miss named Seth Smith. And yep. Coach Tanner, he coached him in the Olympics. He predicted first rounder, comes out his junior year, he's hitting like 261. I called Coach Tanner because I was panicking. Am I screwing up a predicted first rounder? It's the first time I'd coached him. And Coach said, can you get your SID to change his numbers on the scoreboard? I said, I don't know. He goes, yeah, you can. Take the guy to lunch every day. Tell him he has to do it. Whatever. Get him to change the numbers, because every time that kid comes to the plate at home, he looks at that scoreboard. Tell him today you're resetting the scoreboard for him. And we did. And my SID was awesome. So at home games, we made a joke of it. Don't look on away games, because they'll, you know. But from that point on, y'all, Seth hit like 360. And towards the end of the year, it was a real numbers back on the scoreboard because his numbers had balanced back out to where he ended the year hitting like 290-something. He was still a second-round pick, and he played in the big leagues for 10 years. And he would always tell me, he would tell teammates that story, reset it. Sometimes you just got to reset it. With this offense right now, we got everything we could have done up to this point. Nothing's wrong. Let's get Cole back in his lineup this weekend. I hope he is healthy. And let's start keeping our numbers from here on out. Because if we want to keep looking behind us, man, it's hard. You know, I use the old country music saying to him in the dugout at Alabama, the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. So if you want to keep looking in the rearview mirror, that's fine. Because you want to see what's behind you. I'd rather just look in the windshield and see what's coming at me. What's coming at me is I got Florida on the road. I got Arkansas and Kentucky in the next 3 weeks. You got a chance in these 3 weeks to make a huge statement of who you are. And you ain't got to go 9-0. You can go 6-3. You might go 5-4 and make a huge statement. So focus on what we got in front of us.
Brilliantly said. They sit at 15th right now in the RPI. Yeah. They've got 7 wins against quad one opponents this year, which is, I think, the 5th or 6th most in the country. The other night beating North Carolina, now they struck out 16 times. North Carolina struck out 12 times, 28 strikeouts. You probably love calling that out there.
Yeah, that's cool.
But they won the game. They won the game 2-1. And I think something that I took out of that is tough as it is to see the strikeouts. And, you know, I'm a big believer coach. I think most baseball guys are, you know, understanding the count and what you're trying, what is your approach with what where the count is and those type things. Some frustrating stuff in there. But one of the things that happened in that game the other night is Carolina's pitching was good. And by the way, we're the real Carolina down here because we have 2 national championships. That team up there, they don't have any.
No.
And
first looking, that color uniform, I'd hate to be called out in white and baby blue. I mean, I felt like I'm at a baby shower when I play those.
I'll say this: hats off to King. He's beating him, and he played for him. You know,
but I never hear the words "diamond heels" again, I know.
They were relieved. I think of a stripper every time they say that.
I was asking one of them to pop through, you know? And ask me for a cigarette. I didn't know what was going on.
They were Carolinaing it up too. They were Carolinaing it. They were like Carolina something, South Carolina this. Going out of their way.
Jeez, come on.
But like, because that's their radio. That was their radio crew.
I know.
That's why I had the Dynamite Duo, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so because Lake and Derek, guarantee you, y'all weren't calling them Carolina. Y'all were calling us Carolina, right? That's the way it works.
Yeah, I wasn't calling them Carolina.
So, exactly. See? So, but what happened in that game was something that hasn't happened, and it won the game. And it hadn't happened around here much lately. And North Carolina ties the game. They walked up big double down the line. And the Gamecocks responded. Dylan Brewer steps up and parks one into the right center field gap. And I'm like, oh, thank you. That's how this works. You know, like you respond, you punch him. And then, of course, Connor McCreary was the best he's been all year to wrap that thing up. I'm hoping that moment there, I think it was in the 8th inning or 7th or 8th inning.
It was 8th.
The 8th inning. That's a big inning to have that hit, isn't it? I'm hoping that's a springboard for them.
Well, I do too. So I walked in the cages yesterday, and I did it on purpose because I wanted – they don't probably care who I am or what I do, but you never know who does. So I walked straight to
– I think they do.
Yeah, well, I walked straight over to Dalton Reeves and gave him a fist bump. Dalton Reeves don't know me from Adam, and I said, you had the biggest at-bat of the night. Great job. Because – we haven't bunted well. And Dalton Reeves got in there, and I said it on the radio. He looked like an old National League pitcher from the 80s. Derek kept saying, why is he squaring around so early? I said, why not square around early? Are we supposed to bunt for a hit here? Square around early. They used to do big leagues for 100 years, and he squared around early. And I gave credit the other night on the radio. He played at Erskine. He played at PC. Those dudes have to do that there.
Yep.
And when you realize he was taught by guys that have made that an emphasis, he turned around, he squared. Where do you want to bunt it? You want to bunt it to first. Why? Because he's going to have a harder time fielding it than a third baseman who might field it quickly and throw to second. He executed it perfect. And I just walked over and fist bumped him. I said, biggest at bat of the night. And Talmy's Lee Crow, who loves to pick on me, gave me a face. I said, well, yours was big too, because he was a two-strike walk, if you remember.
Yep.
They got on base. I said, but he executed that bunt. That's how you're going to win some games. And if he don't execute that bunt, Brewer hits that ball in the gap, Talmy's Lee Crow ain't scoring from first. I mean, it just ain't happening. That don't mean that maybe the ball don't get kicked around. He does, but in a normal baseball game in that park, I mean, even Brewer couldn't get to third. I mean, they threw him out. So, I mean, that bunt and that execution, that's why I think Dalton Reeves, boy, you got to find a way to maybe keep that guy somewhere in the lineup.
Whittle wrote about that today. I know, obviously, he hit the two balls out of the yard against PC, and he if you look at the stats, he's, quote, just 3 of 11 since then. But he's had quality at bats, Coach. Yeah. He's got there's a sack fly in there. You just mentioned the sack bunt. And I know he's barreled up a couple of other ones. They were kind of big league swings is what I like to call them. You hit it well, you just didn't hit it far enough. I like what he looks like in the box.
Well, Derek called it a check swing single on Sunday, and it was. And I wanted to say, and I couldn't get it in because something happened quickly. I remember so many times in the dugout with Coach Tanner, somebody would hit a line drive, and then the guy would do what Dalton did, check swing, and that other guy would go, man, it's ridiculous. I hit the ball so hard, and he gets a hit. And Coach Tanner would turn around and say, because he's living right. He's treating the game right. He's probably treating his teammates right. He's probably doing the right things off the field, and you aren't. So why don't you start doing the right things, and maybe you'll get some of those. And you talk about a shut-up moment. That person would always walk away, and all of us would be going, yeah. He's right. So I felt for Dalton Reeves on the check swing single on Sunday. It's just one of those little baseball ways of showing, hey, this guy probably does it right. He's been a good teammate. You know, he hadn't even played till Cole got hurt. They let him play in the PC game. He showed what he could do there. I think the guy's going to be he creates a bench is what he starts to create for you because we really haven't had a bench.
Yeah.
So now you got a guy. When Cole comes back, you got a guy on the bench that you feel confident if you run him up. And I think Causey's still that kind of guy, too. Personally, right now, I can't imagine Gavin Costas coming out of the lineup if the guy throws with both hands over his head. I don't care if it's left or right. That guy's my first baseman because he hits. He's leading us in the league, and he's hitting 361 in the league.
Yeah.
And I asked him yesterday, I says, Talmy's Lee Crow ever take you to lunch? And he goes, no. And he laughed because he said his brother, one of the middle infielders, every time he picks a ball, and I forget who he said, that guy will get him like a pair of shoes or something. They're in the big leagues, of course. But I'm like, I went over to Talmadge. I said, dude, he done saved about 5 of your throws. You better at least take him to Groucho's or bring him a hamburger or something. Because I just think Gavin Costa's a really good first baseman.
If Tal is low on NIL cash, you let JC know, okay? We'll figure out if he's going to keep saving balls at first because Tal can't, you know, hit him in the chest.
Yeah.
We'll get him some cash. Either that, but that's a perfect way to put it. Look, Tal, and of course I'm picking on him. I don't know him like you do, but he would understand. If you don't want to buy his lunch, hit him in the chest, man. You know, it's pretty simple.
That's what's cool, and even when Causey plays first. You got a dude 6'4", and then Causey 6'6". We all think height. I think width.
Yeah.
Reach out the balls that the 5'11 first baseman can, or he can. The other night, he kind of went on a back angle and picked it. That's a huge, big, tall first baseman. I was a third baseman a lot of my career. They make you more comfortable because you can throw it high, and when he's got the ability to pick it low, yeah, that gives you a lot of room to error in without getting an error.
That's what made Smoke so beautiful over there, not just in college but in the big leagues. It's been a couple years now, but Kevin, what's his name? He was a center fielder. And then he played Kevin Pillar. The Pillars were in town, what a great guy! Him and his wife, just tremendous. And we were talking about Smoke at first. Clearly, he's left-handed, so it changes the dynamic here. But good left-handed first basemen who are big, like a guy like Justin, being 6'4", use their body to give you a target. It is a lot easier when you see a big body of because you know how you're supposed to do it as a left-handed first baseman, and you know you. that matters to these guys. You know, they don't feel like they're throwing it on such a line.
Well, I'll tell you what else matters.
Their string.
When that guy don't get frustrated. I've had first basemen who act like they just, you know, save the world by picking a ball at first. Hey, that's part of your job.
Yeah.
I love first baseman. Smoke was so good at it. You know, we joke. And, yeah, I'm sure Smoke got a lunch or two out of it with some of them guys too. But
oh, yeah.
You know, the ball's getting thrown to you. So your job must be able to field the throw.
Right. And
Smoke was excellent at being able to do that. And as guys that played with him told me, and they said about Christian Walker, their glove was just like a magnet. When that ball ever went in it, it stayed in it. So it
was big. Yeah, Wingo was joking one time about it when he was a freshman, and he missled one over there, and it was way off, and Smoke snagged it, and he said, I was kind of intimidated by Justin. He said, you know, I didn't know him like y'all know him.
Yeah.
He was my teammate, and we got along, but I, you know, hadn't picked up on it yet, and he said, I was running off the field, and he said, Smoke rolled the ball back to the mound and waited till I was trotting by and trotted with me. He said, better be happy you got old Smokey over here. You know, you can hear him say it, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said, from that moment on, I knew I better hit this dude in the chest because he wasn't going to put up with it. All right. So elsewhere, though, let's go to the mound. You got to feel like even with the struggles that the Gators have had offensively, again, with the exception of Cags and the balls that have left the yard off the bat of Colby Shelton and things like that,
They're
very dangerous, and if you start hitting around Jack Caglione, holy smokes, it gets intimidating in a hurry. They've got players. It's Florida. They have players every year. So I felt like, you know, that this staff kind of went through a little bit of a lull, kind of, you know, playing a little bit of roulette on the weekend, you're trying to get the starters right, and, you know, guys trying to find some stuff. Of course, I would also include in that conversation that strike zone just sucks. I mean, I'm seeing balls being thrown right down the middle of the plate that are called balls. It looked like it was a little bit bigger the other night from Greg Street in the North Carolina game than it has been. So that's affecting everybody. ERAs are up all over the place. I'm not really sure what we can do about it at this point in time in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
But then Connor McCreary. I mean, dude, that was his best outing of his career the other night. What a moment for him to have that stuff. 95, he's throwing it by everybody. And, you know, guy Garrett Gainey, we know what he's capable of. Some balls are leaving the yard. I think mentally he needs to stay a little bit more locked in and less involved in, you know, strutting around the mound. But how would you evaluate the staff now that they're 12 games into league play?
Well, the other night, I'm not really, as Derek and then pick on me, I'm not a really good sideline reporter. So I'm trying to get from the press box. But the reason I wanted to get down there the other night was I'd never really knew McCreary. So I wanted to see how he was acting. I wanted to get a response from him. And when I got down there, I met a guy that was kind of humbled that he had just been put in that situation and had success. And that made me feel a lot better about him the next time. I hate it when guys say this team sucks. No, they don't suck. That was a really good team. So he didn't. He said, man, good hitting team. I really did. Coach Williams called the right pitches. This was the stuff he said to me before I turned a microphone on. And that showed me a lot about him. And this league, you know it because you've been around the guys that were the guys. There's arrogance in this league. So never get, like, down on a guy for arrogance as long as he understands why he was successful. I thought the other night he handled that very well. And speaking of sideline reporters, I came in a little late on y'all. I've been kind of rattled this morning. I guess y'all heard about O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. So one of the greatest NBC sideline reporters of all time. I think he did something else in his career too. But
yeah, he was in the Naked Gun as Nordberg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's an actor.
Yeah. So they've all been picking on me in here this morning because I'm the old guy in this office and I used the word alleged a few times this morning just to let them know how everything had turned out in that case. Back to the serious stuff. Pitching wise, I don't know if King talked about it yesterday. I know it looks like the weekend rotation is going to certainly be different. Eli Jones Friday night, but
yeah.
What I'm hearing rumblings of, and I don't know what days, but it sounds like Ty Good, maybe
yeah. Matthew
Becker. I don't know if that's been official yet, kind of what day they're going to go, but I like that. I like Ty Good starting.
Why?
think he's a veteran dude with four pitches.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at SEC stats right now. His ERA is under six with four appearances, 13, two-third inning, eight hits, five walks, 18 Ks. And a big one for me, opponents hit 170. So I hope he's out there, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, as a starter. And then Matthew Becker, I mean, he proves it every time. That guy can step up to the moment about as good as anybody's done in a while in this program on the mound.
I am a huge Matthew Becker fan. I just, number one, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
And he comes from a good family. I don't know his family. I think I met Lori, I believe, one time in an event. But I like how he handles himself on the mound. And the same thing with Ty Good. So the thing about those three guys, and I don't, this is, has nothing to do with anybody else on this staff. I'm talking about these three guys, Eli Jones, Matthew Becker, Ty Good. They've all pitched a lot, as you just pointed out. And going back to something that you didn't say these two words together earlier, but this is what you were referencing. They understand that baseball gods do exist.
Yeah.
And they will punish you for not doing things the right way, but they will reward you when you do. And these three guys, they walk up on the mound with a job to do. And mentally, you can see that they're locked in. That doesn't mean they're going to have a great appearance every time they're out there. It's baseball. But they are locked in on every pitch. And Matthew Becker's been through the wars of the SEC now for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
I would love to see him. And I think we will, as you pointed out, and Ty Good. I think that'd be a great, great thing for this staff.
I don't know. Cade Crenshaw goes down on the field, player of the game. Becker was a player of the game on Sunday. The maturity, again, he goes down and he says to Becker, you guys are 4-0 on Sundays. What do you have to say about that? What does that mean? And he goes, I hope we bottle some of that up and do it on Friday and Saturday. So that immediately showed you a guy that understands that, yeah, it's a big deal that you're 4-0 on Sunday. Because that 4-0, three of those have helped you not get swept. So, I mean, that's been a real big deal. But he's also important enough in his mind to know, we got to win one of these Friday Saturdays so that this Sunday on the road means we'll win the series. Mm-hmm. And I just – that maturity in him, it just came out. I remember him getting thrown out there almost to the Wolves against Texas as a freshman and pitched his butt off. You know, gave up, as Derek says, every time, the longest home run he's ever seen hit in person, and never gave up another run after. Yeah. I mean, that in itself shows you a mentality of a kid. But the only negative about announcing him as a starter to me is I wanted to use him like friggin' Scott Barber. If he could have helped me win on Friday left-handed out of the pen, that was the only negative I ever kept saying when guys would ask me, like, hey, would you start him? I just think the dude bounces back so well. But if they announce him as a starter, then obviously he's not going to be in relief Friday and Saturday. So we'll see how that gets announced and what they're going to do with it. But then you got three old guys. When you can start putting guys in your rotation that behind their name is junior and senior and fifth year grad, Trent. Coach Tanner was pretty smart. The one thing he said that was definitely smart is if we can put more older good players on the field than they're good young players, we're going to win. Not saying we can put bad old guys on the field and beat good young guys, but if the talent is somewhere close, we were going to take the older guys and let them have the phenoms, and we won all the time. I remember it seemed like Auburn always had those great freshman All-American. They ain't make no regionals. They didn't win any. I just always – that was drilled into me as a young coach. If you can get veteran guys on the field, put the veteran guys on the field.
Can you do me a quick favor and give a baseball explanation for those that may not understand? If you're announced as a starter, like in the rotation on the weekend, like it's not like football. Oh, it's your starting running back. Wait a second. He's out at wide receiver.
Yeah.
If you announce Matthew Becker as your, say, Saturday starter this weekend, why can't you just bring him in on Friday night if you need to?
You know what? There is no rule that they couldn't. It's a gentleman's rule. And it's one That's of the right. – yeah, I can see right now is, you know, Matt Williams is driving down the road today in the bus. He's looking at their hitters. And Monty's looking at their pitcher. And that's what I would do. I'd get on the bus and I'd be wearing the SID out. So I'm looking at their Friday night. I got all that video Sunday. It's just it's a part of our game that is fortunately still sacred, that when we announce a starter, that's our starter. And even in the big leagues, they do until the playoffs. In the playoffs, you always know it's, you can see Greg Maddux is warming up in the bullpen. You remember all those days. But once you announce that guy, that also means his bullpen was thrown in accordance to when he's going to pitch, when his weightlifting was done in accordance to when he's going to pitch. So you won't see him come in relief if they've announced it during the regular season. Hope that
Coach, do what, Phil?
Hope that was kind of clear enough on it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought it was Phil that said that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. There are gentlemen's rules that still exist in this sport. And
yeah.
Well, Coach, you know, let's go win Friday night and get this thing off to a good start. Either that or pray for rain on Friday and Saturday so they have to play a double dip on Sunday. We know they'll win on Sunday. We're not worried about that.
It's called a winning streak. If you win Friday. Hey, two wins in a row over two top 15 RPO teams. That's a good sign.
Yeah, I pointed this out yesterday. I mean, look, you've played number one in the RPI. You've played number four. You've played number five. You've played number 16. And the reason they're number 16 is because you swept them or they'd be in the top 10. And what the Gamecocks still have left is next weekend, a home series against RPI number two, as it stands today, Arkansas. They still have a series left the weekend after that against RPI number six. They still have a series left after that against RPI number nine and the Georgia Bulldogs. They still have a series left against number 14, RPI Tennessee. They still, and then, of course, this weekend they still have the Gators, who are at 29. I mean, as you said, it's all there. And this team is capable of beating every one of those teams. And they've got seven quad one wins, and they're 23-10. They're not. I don't like getting into the, well, we're just one hit away. But you didn't get it, so it already happened. It's over. But the reality of it is there are some games they didn't just get their ass beat. You know, there are things that we've seen them do that they can get corrected. And if they get them corrected, they're going to win. And I think they will win. I think this is going to be a good weekend down there. I don't know what to think of Florida, so.
I don't either. That's kind of the X factors, you don't know. But here's the deal. They're 6-6, and they got 18 games left. I will go on the record and say if they win nine more SEC games, they are in a regional. Because no 15-win team hasn't made it except a 1999 South Carolina East champions who didn't make it since this whole new bracket started. So I think because of what you just said, JB, I think 14 may be more of a number that still gets them in, because their RPI is never going to get out of the top 20 with the teams you just announced they're going to play. So my mindset now would be not, hey, let's win half our games, but it is a marathon. Everybody always says that. But Coach Bianco used to joke and say, don't forget to look in front of you in case there's a pothole while we're running this marathon. So there is some sprint to this. Keep your eye on that game, but remember what's out there. We're trying to get to a regional, because if this team gets to a regional with the arms and what we've seen happen, they can win a regional, because I got a feeling you're not going to play an SEC team in your regional, and you ain't going to play a number 1-8 seed in your regional, you know, most likely, if you can do what you can do. So as I said at the beginning, they have everything in front of them. I know the numbers aren't very good. Reset yourself, create good numbers from this point on in your second half of your SEC season, and be playing when it's hot. That's the whole key.
A top 30 RPI road victory this weekend, series victory, would go a long way. Got to win on the road in this league sometimes to prove it.
Yeah.
They got a chance to do it. All right, what's the meal of choice on the trip to Gainesville? Where are you and Derek stopping? Are you fast food guys? Are you picking up a sandwich, driving through? What are you doing?
Well, Derek was kind enough to leave in the morning because my wife got me Bert Kreischer tickets for the night here at the Colonial Life Center.
Oh.
So we're doing a little comedy show, and then Derek and I are hitting the road in the morning. And we did Zaxby's last trip. I'm simple now. I'm a peanut butter and jelly guy. So Derek's trying to get me to go places and do stuff. I still got the mindset when you're on the road, you know, it's business. So he's trying to help me get into, let's go eat wings. And I ain't doing all that. But we ended up, we'll do something. But these games are so messy. It's a 6:30, turns around 4 o'clock, so it gives you a little breathing room. But in Gainesville this weekend is the huge track event. And if I'm not wrong, I heard it was their spring football game this weekend. Have y'all heard that?
Ooh, I don't know. JC is so, Florida?
Ooh, JC, is that right? That was what we were told for the hotels because we're not staying where we normally do. So should be a lot of people in Gainesville for the weekend. So I don't know. I'd eat wherever the team, if whatever they get. I'm pretty simple.
Well, disappoint them all.
It's the 13th, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, go down there and make sure they're all sad when they leave. That's the goal.
Yep.
Big weekend for the Gamecocks. Coach, always thank you so much. You and Derek, safe travels.
Thank you.
To Gainesville, Florida. And as always, Friday nights on the porch sure are enjoyable when that radio's on, man. I love college baseball season. Thanks for what you do.
Well, thank y'all. I enjoy this, and I'll be talking to y'all next week.
You got it. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Steve. Yep.
The great Stuart Lake joining us from Columbia. Timeout and up from one coach to another. We'll have some fun with Chad Holbrook next here on ITG.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say. And so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. And he originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.